The ancient Jews thought of leaders as shepherds because that was their immediate cultural context. That's who they saw leading. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verses 1 through 6 says this: "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they are scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them.'" We need to understand that God is not condemning shepherds of sheep, not in the physical sense. Instead, God is condemning Israel's leaders, especially their kings and other officials who cared only about themselves, who took advantage of people who they were supposed to be taking care of. They did not have the heart to do the work of shepherds. Strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bind the injured, bring back the strays, search for the lost, and rule or lead gently. In verses 11 to 16 of this passage in Ezekiel 34, God proclaims that he will become their shepherds because the shepherds they had were not doing the job. He reinforces that he will do what their leaders failed to do. His commitments as his people's shepherd echo what King David said about shepherds and God as shepherd in Psalm 23, the song that we sang just moments ago. And so God as shepherd guides and brings his sheep to all that they need. He provides security, nurture, peace, and rest. He revives and refreshes their spirits. He guides them toward well-being. He uses his rod for rescue and protection, and by way of that, he brings comfort to them in the face of danger. He treats his sheep as honored guests, and he assures them of unending blessed treatment. He does all of this because of his relationship to his sheep and his sheep to them. This is God exemplifying what a shepherd ought to be. As the psalmist Asaph commended King David's leadership of Israel, he impressed important traits of a shepherd by writing, "And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them." God's prophet Micah spoke of the coming Messiah as the shepherd of my people Israel. And as the Messiah, Jesus revealed his shepherd heart. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 says of Jesus, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." In Matthew 15 and verse 32, Jesus told his apostles, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." This is a shepherd's heart. In Luke 15 and verses 4 through 7, Jesus tells a story which emphasizes the value of one lost sheep to its shepherd, to impress how valuable every person is to God. This is the heart of a shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verses 14 and 15, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." And here Jesus emphasizes what he had said earlier in this chapter. "I lay down my life for the sheep." And all of these things are well and good in theory, aren't they? They sound so poetic. They sound so compassionate. They sound so concerned. They sound so involved, and they are. And we can think about this comparison of a shepherd, of actual sheep, to shepherds as leaders not only in the nation of Israel or in a community of people in a village or a town or a city. But as we're applying it today, as the New Testament carries that idea forward into the elders, the shepherds of the church, this becomes something that's no longer theory or principle or poetry. This becomes very real. This is what an elder, a shepherd, is to be. This is the heart he is to have. This is the kind of man who he is. Just like his Father God, Jesus Christ was a shepherd in heart and in action. He models spiritual shepherding to his disciples and his apostles. His apostle Paul reminded the shepherds or elders of the church in Ephesus that he had done the same thing in their presence. In other words, even without title, Paul had acted among the church at Ephesus as a shepherd. He told them in Acts chapter 20 and verses 17 through 21, "From Miletus Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, 'You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks alike that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verses 1 through 12, Paul gave much more detail in a very tender way as he reminded the church in Thessalonica how he had modeled shepherding toward them as well. And so we get this sense that wherever Paul went, when he established a congregation of God's people, he nurtured them as a shepherd nurtures his sheep. He cares for them from day one right on through maturity. He makes sure that their entire life spiritually is well cared for. He seeks to provide everything they need for their well-being. In Acts chapter 20 again, in verse 28, on for verse 31, Paul gave sober charges to the elders or the shepherds of the church there in Ephesus. He says, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." Paul says some things here that are discouraging if we look at it that way. He says, "I know that even from your own number, amongst you elders, you shepherds, that men will arise to draw away disciples after them." That's why, as we have begun this process within the last few weeks of thinking about men suited to be elders, shepherds of this congregation, we've talked about the kind of traits, the kind of hearts, the kind of lives these men live. What have we seen amongst the men of our congregation? What kind of maturity have we seen? What kind of compassion and care and nurture have we seen that causes us to realize we have men who are well-suited, who are concerned about the Lord's body and not concerned about drawing away people after themselves? Do we have men that will watch themselves and among themselves and the congregation as a whole, the flock, and truly be shepherds after God's own heart? We'll be shepherds in the mode that Paul exemplified, that Jesus exemplified, that God exemplified. Later, when Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he impressed upon them their blessings in Christ, saying in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13, it was he, speaking of Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors or shepherds and teachers. For what reasons did Jesus bring these gifts to the church? To prepare God's people for works of service. Now notice it's not on just the elders or shepherds or pastors. It's upon these other roles as well. But it is well for us to remember that this is not something that can be simply delegated, that shepherds have no part in. They have part in preparing us as God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is why Paul gives us some indicators of the kind of men that we need to have. This is why he emphasizes the idea that these men are able to teach. And what he has in mind, that they are able to teach the message that has been given to them, the gospel of Christ, the good news that's contained within our scriptures. These are the kind of men who will be able to prepare us, to mature us, to unite us. These are the kind of men that you and I need to be looking for as we go about selecting men in this congregation to be elders. Before ascending to heaven, John chapter 21 and verses 15 through 17 shows that Jesus charged his apostle Peter to become a shepherd. Of all the things that Jesus could have charged Peter with, of all the things that he could have said to him in those last days before he ascended back to heaven, Jesus chooses to charge Peter with becoming a shepherd. Peter's attitude and thinking would have to be transformed. But later Peter wrote this as a shepherd. Yes, he had attained to that. He had become exactly what Jesus charged him to be. So we read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, Peter says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing. As God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Charles Hodge has commented on this passage in ways that are very direct, as Hodge has a habit of doing. He says, shepherds love sheep, not themselves. Shepherds live for the sheep. Sheep do not live for the shepherds. Shepherds do not do what shepherds like, but what sheep need. Shepherds are in the sheep business. It is not necessary for sheep to understand shepherds, but it is vital that shepherds understand sheep. A shepherd is a steward or a manager. Not the owner of the sheep, but the steward or manager for the owner. Those are words, wise words, experienced words, well worth us taking to heart. Earlier, Peter had said of Jesus, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Jesus is in actuality the shepherd of everyone. Jesus died for the sins of the world, of his time, and his time would go forward. He died for the sins of everyone. He died to save our lives spiritually, eternally. He's seeking not only to keep his sheep together who've given their lives over to his care, but he's seeking every lost sheep, everyone that has strayed away from him. He's seeking for every one of us. If you've been lost, if you strayed away from Jesus in any way, we urge you to come to him or come back to him and allow him to be the shepherd of your soul. Won't you come now as we stand and sing this song?
One thing I know, my Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home,